We're doing Pirkei Avot, and we're holding in the end of the second chapter, Perek Bet Mishnah Tet Vav. The second chapter, the 15th Mishnah. We had seen the five disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and the messages that each one taught us. The last one was Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, the greatest disciple, who had told us, Havei Shakud Lilmot Torah, that we have to act with diligence in our learning of Torah. So on that note, we continue with Rabbi Tarfon, who may have been a disciple of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, or else he's quoted over here because he's continuing in that vein. Hayom katzel v'amlacha merubah, the day is short and the work is great, v'apalim atzelim, and the workers are lazy. And there's a reference to this world. This world is really a short time, and there's a lot to accomplish. And our tendency is to be lazy. V'asachar harbeh, and the wages are great. Uva labayit tochek, and the one who hired us, the one who's in charge, is really pushing to get the job done. Now, I thought to myself that really this Mishnah refers to the things that we naturally tend to forget. You ask a person intellectually, he understands this. But emotionally, the way we live our lives, we tend to forget it. You tell a guy, did you finish a Perek Mishnayis today? So our tendency is to feel like, I'll get to it. I haven't yet learned all of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I don't know all the halachos of the 3 weeks. I'll get to it. And that's why the first message of the Mishnah is, Hayom Katzer, remember, the day is short. Those things, I'll get to it. Life's short. We think, you know, I've already done a lot. I've worked all day. I've learned. I've accomplished. And that's why the Tana reminds us the second point, V'amlacha merubah. There's still a lot of work. Don't sit there and think, I got a lot done. It's true, you got a lot done, but you have to recognize there's still a lot to get done. You tell a person, you know, there's a lot to get done, he says, I'm working. What do you mean, I'm working? So the Tana reminds us, no, apalim atzelim. This is called being lazy. There's work and there's being lazy. We have to remember, we could always do much, much better, or almost always. A person might think, you know, if I sit back and rest, I enjoy. I need a break. If I sit down with a cup of coffee, you know, it's pleasurable. The Tana reminds us, there's still a lot of wages to be paid. Don't think you're working for nothing. You'll get payback, and the payback is halbe, it's a lot. And a person, we always tend to feel like we have it in with God. God's okay, what are you so pressured for? God isn't pressured. The Tana reminds us, no, balabai tochek. God wants us to get the job done. He doesn't come down and tell us to our face, you know, get working, buddy. But the truth is that we have our responsibilities and God really wants us to do it. So I didn't see anyone that says this explanation, but I thought to myself that this is maybe shot in the Mishnah. We continue with Mishnah Tetzayin. Hu haya omer, Rabbi Tarfon used to say, Lo alecha amlacha ligmor. On the one hand, we just said the master's pushing. God wants us to get the work done. At the same time, a person has to recognize, my responsibility isn't to finish. I have to work, I have to do my best, but at the end of the day, whether I finish or not, that's not what interests God. God's interested in how much have you tried. And this is a very important point. This is one of the reasons why Machon Meir doesn't have tests. And one of the problems with the Giyur program. When a person has a test, so he feels like, I've made it. And to an extent, now I can sit back. I'm ready for the test. One of the weaknesses that most people have when they undergo Giyur is that the Giyur program intrinsically gives a person a feeling, you've made it. That's it. You've passed the test, and it's not so. The first few years I was at Machon Meir, almost every semester I'd have this argument with the heads of the program and also the Rabbi Gon that we should have tests here. It would help guys a lot if guys knew they had to accomplish, they had a test, they had to finish a quota. And they kept telling me the same point, and eventually I understood, that every person is on a different level and can attain at a different level. And if you make a test, then you're standardizing everything and you're not treating each person individually. And it's not right. Every person can grow and has to grow, but not on the same level and nor at the same pace. If you're going to start grading people, so some people will feel good and some people won't. Those that will feel good, well, they'll stop working because they feel like I've made it. And those that won't feel good, could be they were working very hard. But they can't make it to that test. The person walks in here and he knows so much less than other people, he's going to feel like nothing, and it's not right. He should feel like he's successful because he's moving forward. Success isn't measured by a test. And you lose on both fronts if you standardize things, if you make tests. So this is the point that eventually I understood. And I think that's the point of our Mishnah. On the one hand, we have to push ourselves. We have to keep growing. On the other hand, we have to recognize there is no finish line. Oh, he made it ahead of me. He's already moved forward in the Gemara class and I'm still here. Lo alecha am nachaligmo. My responsibility isn't to finish the work. My responsibility is to work at it. I'm growing. I'm a work in progress. And where will I get to? I don't know where I'll get to. I got to do my best. And I'm not measured compared to anything else. I'm not even measured compared to the job. My job isn't to finish the job. My job is to do my best at the job. At the same time, I have to remember, v'lo ata ben chorin libatel mimena. You're not free to take a break from it. Your job is to work at it. A person can't say, well, I don't have to finish. So, no, let me go take a coffee break. I finished the coffee break. Let me go take a cake break. Let me go take another break. I'll call my parents. Yeah, you can spend your life taking breaks. No. Lo ata ben chorin libatel mimena. You're not free to take a break from it or to stop working at it. You got to always work at it. And this is true when you're at Mechon Meir, and this is true when you're not at Mechon Meir. Person has a responsibility to continue his growth. Im lamadta Torah harbe, if you've learned a lot of Torah, notnim lach sachar harbe, they'll give you great wages. V'ne'emanu bal melachtcha shishalem lecha schar pulatach, and the one who's responsible for your work, you could rely on him that he'll pay you for your work. You did your best at doing a mitzvah. That's when it's called a pe'ula. Pe'ula is an action. Melacha is work. Bal melachtecha, the one who is responsible for your work, he'll pay you schal pe'ulatcha. It doesn't say schal melachtecha. He'll pay you for getting the job done. Because if you've done your best at the mitzvah, that's called you got the job done. And it's interesting that there are two terms that are used here. There's the term that we encounter frequently throughout Perkei Avot, and that is sachar. And you'll notice that I keep translating sachar as wages. I don't translate it as the world to come, as gifts. That's matana. That's olam haba. Sahar is wages. And the concept of sahar, I always heard from a person, he would say in passing, sahar means wages. And he never stopped to explain it. And today, as I was preparing for our learning today, I came across the Tiferes Yisrael over here that explains that the concept of sahar is the wages you would expect to get in this world. I worked. I spent all day working. I expect to get something back. That's sechar. The Mishnah concludes and tells us, "V'day, you should know matan secharan shel tzadikin na'atid lavo." The wages of the righteous is in the world to come, but it's the wages. The gift of olam haba—that's a gift. That's another concept. What you'll get in the world to come. But even the mere wages which you'd expect in this world—I was a tzaddik. I gave up everything in my life to serve Hashem. Life should be sweet. The Mishnah tells us no. In this world, you don't get your wages. So that's a very important point. We think that there's the world to come. Yes, the world to come is the matana. But we also have to recognize that the world to come is also the sahal, the wages. Don't expect in this world. And that's why if we see tzaddik v'ralo, if there's a righteous person and things are tough for him in this world, so the Mishnah tells us, yeah, he has wages. But you should know that those wages are in the world to come. Not only the gift of the world to come, but even the wages that he deserves for the work in this world that you would expect should be in this world, even those wages are in the world to come. Now, okay, we'll leave it at that. We're starting the third chapter.
Then why do we have good things in this world sometimes?
So the Gemara tells us sometimes a person can get it in this world. It's not, if it were 100%, firstly you could look in the Ein Yaakov class. We have three or four classes on this point. And one of the things we mentioned there was that the Gemara stresses that when Moshe Rabbeinu was bothered with this quandary of tzaddik v'rado, the Gemara begins with an introduction. That Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yesh tzaddik v'tovlo v'yesh tzaddik v'rado. Yesh rashav v'tovlo, yesh rashav v'ralo. I see righteous who have it good, I see righteous who have it bad, I see wicked who have it bad, I see wicked who have it good. And the commentaries over there explain, Moshe Rabbeinu said, if everyone who was righteous had it good, I'd understand. If everyone who was righteous had it bad, I'd understand. But the fact that you have righteous, some have it good and some have it bad, that I don't understand. So then what's going on here? Then I get the impression that there's no one running the world. I know you're running the world, God. So now I don't understand. That's my question. So we had four classes just on the different explanations how we are to understand this the question and the answer, if there was one. Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph. Akavya ben Mahalalel. Omer. Akavya ben Mahalalel tells us, and he's going to tell us an important rule in this world. Akavya, our sages tell us, was in a position that he could have led the Jewish people. There were 4 points that he differed with the rabbis on. And the rabbis told him, we have a tradition from the masses against you. Give in to us on these 4 points and we'll make you Av Beis Din, the head of the court. You'll be Supreme Court Justice. Akavya ben Mahalalel, he was one of the great rabbis. And Akavya said, forget it. I won't rescind my opinion because I have it on tradition from the masses. And even if now I would have remembered I was wrong, that you were right, I would never accept the position. If I went back on my word, and I would suddenly remember that you guys were right, I would never accept the position, because God forbid people should think that I went back on my word for a position as the chief rabbi, as the Av Beis Din. So he spent his life arguing with the rabbis, and one of the points they argued on was, can a maid, a shifcha, be given to drink the waters of the sota, the special waters of the sota? And he said not, and the rabbi said yes. And at one point the rabbi said, you know, Hillel and Shammai, Shmaya and Avtalion, they gave a shifcha to drink colored waters. And Akavya said, no, dugma ishkua. I know the case. And in that case, they didn't really give her colored waters. They faked her out. They came, they made believe they were giving her colored waters, and then she admitted, but really they weren't colored waters. And the rabbi said, you're going too far. Now you're being obstinate. You're to say that it was a fake, no way. And they ostracized him. One opinion in the Mishnah says they didn't ostracize him. It was someone else they ostracized. But at any rate, when Akavya was lying on his deathbed, his son came to him and said, Abba, his father told him, I want you to give in on those 4 points I argued with the rabbis. You don't have to, but you should. So he said, why now? So he said, well, I had tradition from the masses, and they had tradition from the masses. They disagreed with me, and I disagreed with them. You heard it only from me. You don't have it on tradition from the masses. When you have a tradition from the single, and they have tradition from the masses, so they're the masses, and I'm singular, so now it's at a point where it makes sense for you to give in to them, even when you're learning halachically. Even Akavya gave in to them. Otherwise, he'd be a Zakin Mamre. He couldn't argue with them halachically. But in theory, when he'd teach these laws, he'd teach it the way he held. In practice, he would have to rule like them because they were the masses. So he was telling his son, even in theory, now you should give in to them, because at this point, you're singular against them. You don't have to, but it's a good idea. So his son said, okay, tell them to take me in. So Akavya said, no. Ma'asecha yekarvucha o ma'asecha yerachkucha. Your actions will define. If you're fit, if you behave the way you should, so that'll bring you close to the rest of the rabbis. And then you deserve to be close. You don't need me to say anything. If you don't deserve to be close, you don't behave the way you should, you shouldn't be close, and I don't want them to take you close. So your actions are going to define where you are. So this great Akavya tells us the following things. Histakel v'shloshan dvarim. Take note of 3 things. Look closely upon 3 points. Ve'en atava, and you won't come liyidei avera, to something that is close, to something that brings one to sin. Yad is the handle, right? Yad akli is the handle of a vessel. You won't come liyidei avera, to the handle of a sin, meaning to something that brings you closer to a sin. What is it? Da, you should know. Me'ayin bata, where you come from. Ulan ata olech, where you're going to. Ve'lifnei mi ata atid liten din mechashbon, and before whom will you be giving justice? Will you have to explain your actions? Me'ayin bata, where are you coming from? Mitipas rucha, from a sour drop. That's we're talking about the sperm. If a person thinks about that, he can't be too proud. So that's the first point. Think about where you come from, and then you won't be too proud. Ulan ata olech, where are you headed to? Because from the minute a person is born, he's headed to one place, to the grave. Holech, in the present. Present, he's moving, he's going. Where are you going to? Every minute we're getting one step closer to limkom afar imavet toleat, a place of dust and different types of worms and different types of little creepy crawly creatures that are going to eat us. So that's a person should think about where he's going to. And then he'll be able to overcome his desire. Person thinks, I want a pizza now. Why do you want a pizza? You'll have more worms eating you. when a person has desire, to overcome desire, he has to think, well, what's going to be the purpose of it all? Well, in the end, it's all going to just be given fish feed. It's all going to the worms.
Before whom will you give an accounting for what you've done?
Before the King of Kings, God blessed be He. And that helps a person take a step back from sin. If we'd only think about the fact that we're going to have to answer up for our actions, then we'd really hold back from sin. And the Tana is stressing that God is the King of Kings, because if you have a court case before judging, you don't like what he says, you appeal to the higher court. You don't like what they say, you appeal higher. You can always appeal. Before God, there's no appealing. God is the King of Kings. So he's reminding us, he's going to judge you and there's no appealing. Now here, I want to mention a point in Tosas Yom Tiv, because on Friday, in our Ramban class, we discussed that the Ramban uses different terms within the same paragraph. He discusses leida, to know, and leha'amin, which might be translated to believe. And we asked how the Ramban could use these terms interchangeably. So it's interesting that the Tosas Yom Tov on this Mishnah says, what did Akavya ben Malalel tell us? He said, histakel, look at three things. Vidan, you should know. He began by saying, look at them, and then he said, know these three things. Why did he switch to tell us no? Because when he talks about the fact that you will have to give an accounting before God, that's not something you could look at. Histakel means look at with intent. Well, you can't look at God with intent. I mean, we know he exists, but we don't look at him directly. So that's why he went over to da, says the Tosas Yom Tov. That knowledge can only be sheya'amin ze bederech yedi'ah. He's quoting the Medrash Shmuel. A person should be ma'amin, which will translate, will believe this in a way of knowing. What does it mean by that? It's pretty obvious from his usage of the word leha'amin and yedi'ah that they're not contradictory. He says the Mishnah uses the word da to teach us that this is a concept which one has to maybe conceptualize to know. But then we have to redefine the word leha'amin. So again, I'm raising a question, I'm not answering it, but this needs more work. How do we understand the word leha'amin? Mishnah Bet. Rabbi Chanina, Sgan HaKohanim, Omer. Rabbi Chanina, who was the one in charge of the Kohanim, he used to say the following. Hevei mitpalel bishlomam shel malchut. One should always pray for peace in the kingship, in the authorities, and this is a reference not only to Jewish authorities. Shil malei mora'a, for if not for the fear of the authorities, ish et reo chayim balau, man would swallow his friend alive. So I want us to pause for a minute. There's a very deep pshat here by the Tiferes Yisrael, and it's a scary message how he explains each word in Rabbi Chanina's words. He says, one should pray for the peace of the authorities. This is a reference to authorities that are not Jewish.
Oh.
And this is a reference to authorities that one would think not to pray for their peace. Meaning, if they were treating us fairly, if they were nice, if they had a good justice system, I wouldn't need Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim to tell me this message. Obviously, he's telling me, in a situation where things seem bad and the authorities seem terrible, you should know that anarchy is worse. We are not anarchists. We are against anarchy. To an extent, we're Machiavellian. I wouldn't say as far as Machiavelli went. But this message over here says your best bet is to pray for the peace of the kingship. Why? Because you have to recognize, ilmalei mora'a, if not for the fact that people had fear from the authorities, ish, a person who is an important person, someone who's respectable. You think only the derelicts would misbehave? No, even the ish, a person who's of importance. You think people would only go against their enemies? Et re'ehu, even his friend, he would stab a knife in his back. You think that, you know, sometimes you think a person has pity. You kill someone before he eats him.
tells us even his friend Chaim would take him alive. You'd think that, you know, if you're devouring someone, say you want some flavor, you chew him. Tells us the Mishnah, Balau would swallow him. Even Inish, even Re'ehu would swallow him alive. The Mishnah is telling us the nature of man, even if you look at someone who's of importance and you think he's your friend, you should know that you're in danger of him devouring you alive. And that's why the Mishnah says it's in everyone's benefit to pray for the peace of the authorities, even though they're not doing things the way we think they should. Scary thought. We don't like to think of ourselves this way. We like to think, even if no one were looking over my shoulders, even if no one would do anything if I stole or I robbed, I would be a good person. Mishnah saying, don't bet on it. Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon Omer. Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon says, Shnayim shiyoshvim ve'em b'neim divrei Torah harezem moshav leitzim. If you have two people sitting and there are no words of Torah going on between them, this is considered like it's a moshav leitzim. This is camping ground for jokers. As the verse says, moshav leitzim lo yashav. God isn't present in a camping ground of jokers. So the Mishnah is stressing, it's not enough that each one's reading out of his own sefer. You're sitting opposite someone, there should be Torah going on between you two. But if you have two sitting and there are words of Torah going between them, that's why it's called Divrei Torah, words of Torah, Shechina Sheruya Venehim, then the Shechina is resting between them, as the verse says, Az Nidberu Yireh Hashem Yishel Re'eu Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma Vayikatev Sefer Zikaron Lefanav Liyireh Hashem Ulechoshvei Shemo. God listens when you have two God fearing people speaking words of Torah between them. God listens and He writes it in His Book of Memories for those that fear Him and value His name. From this verse I see that if you have two people learning Torah, God takes note. How do we know that even if one's learning Torah, God gives him his wages? As the verse says, he sits alone and he learns in quiet. And nonetheless, God gives him his wages, because we consider it as though all the Torah was given just for him. He's learning Torah, he's sitting alone, a guy wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning, he can't sleep. What's he going to do? So he could turn on the internet, enter a chat room, bad idea. He could sit down and play a game, bad idea. He sits down and he learns Torah. God says, you know what? The whole Torah was worthwhile to give him. I want to conclude with a story. I think it was the Satmar Rebbe, that a child came to visit him. And when children come to visit the Rebbe's, so they usually give him a piece of an apple. He gave him a small piece of a fruit. So when the child, it came his turn to come before the Rebbe, so the Rebbe told him the following story, which I've since then told over to other children, and the impact is tremendous. I guess, yeah. He told him, the child took the apple, made a blessing, Bori Pre Eitz, and the Rebbe answered, Amen. And then the Rebbe told him, I want you to know what just happened. Up in Shemayim, Hashem was sitting on His throne. David HaMelech was standing before Him, saying Devrei Torah. Shlomo was there. The whole Beis Medrash was convened. You had all the great sages of Israel, and everyone was talking and learning Torah before Hashem. And suddenly Hashem said, "Shh, everyone quiet. There's a little boy down there. He's making bracha. I want to hear." And everyone stopped their learning in silence up in Shemayim and listened. And when you finished the bracha, the whole Beis Medrash sang out, Amen to your bracha. Then they continued learning. That was the bracha you just made. So we have to know when we're learning Torah, so we're not the little boy. But our Mishnah teaches us, if we take that time, when we're all alone, there's no chavrusa, no one's going to know about it, but we sit down and we actually learn, Hashem considers it as though the whole Torah was given just for us.